Today's podcast is brought to you by Instant Technologies, the award-winning same-time vendor offering persistent chat rooms, compliance archiving, powerful queuing systems, and many other same-time solutions. Visit their website at www.instant-tech.com. Welcome to Taking Notes, the Lotus Notes and Domino podcast. Here are your hosts, Bruce Elgort and Julian Robichaud.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 27 of the Taking Notes podcast for Wednesday, August 9th, 2006. I am Bruce Elgort, here with...
Of course, Julian Robichaud.
Hey dude, we need to change that. It's getting old.
I know. We need a nice, sexy female voice to do our intro for us.
Yeah, John, you're just not cutting it. You're fired, man.
Yeah, he's... As far as female voices go, he's just not female enough.
Yeah, I can garage band it a little bit and get, you know,
could
send
you
him up a third, send him up a fourth, you know, yeah.
Kind of a Minnie Mouse effect on top of it.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do that to John, our announcer. So John, thanks for doing your announcing for us, and you're not fired. We'll just
We're going to replace you with a girl.
Exactly. We just need a different intro. So Julian, how the heck you been?
I've been good. I'm a little stuffy right now, but I think I'm okay. About, you know, 5 packs of decongestants later, I can breathe.
I thought you were going to say, like, 5 packs of cigarettes or something.
Cigarettes, yeah. It's got to be a cold. It can't be the cigarettes.
So, a lot's happened over the last couple of weeks since episode 26. I got this gold thing around my finger. I just can't get it off. Actually,
no,
it's
don't even try. No, leave it.
Yeah, every time I try to, like, take it off, I get an electric shock, so...
You do? I get a whack in the back of my head.
Speaking about whacks and... No. Today's episode includes a couple things, one of them is we just like to thank Instant Technologies for sponsoring episode 27, and also we have an interview today regarding QuickPlays 8. Yes, you heard it here first on the Taking Notes podcast. QuickPlays 8, where we had an interview with Rob Novak of Snaps and Satwik Seshasai from IBM. He's the product development manager for QuickPlays. So what'd you think of that interview, Julian?
Those guys are on top of things. I mean, if they don't know it about QuickPlays, it just doesn't happen. It's not there.
Yeah,
and QuickPlays 8, I didn't realize there was even going to be a QuickPlays 8. That's something we haven't heard a lot about at all. I mean, QuickPlays in general. So it's I mean, it sounds like they've really been kind of burning the oil and they're going to get this thing out.
Yeah, the rebirth of QuickPlays, formerly known as Team. Was the IBM team?
Well, formerly known as QuickPlays.
Yeah. Actually, it did have another name, but that interview went really, really well, and I hope everyone learns a lot about QuickPlays 8. I use QuickPlays a lot, and I like it. You know, it's simple. It does what it says it does. Yeah, it's a little bit awkward to peek into the design, and when things go a little wrong, you know, you have to rip open design and just do some weird stuff. But
yeah, sounds like some neat stuff coming, though.
Yeah, so hope you enjoy it. What else do we... We have a quick segment, which I think we'll do right now, from Chad Shelfout. I recorded a couple-minute interview with Chad, and Chad is the developer of 2 OpenNTF applications. One is Quick Elementor, and the other is Open Audit. So let's take a quick listen to the interview with Chad. Hey, Chad. Welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. How you doing?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing pretty well, and I appreciate you taking some time to tell everyone about Quick Elementor and Open Audit. So, you're on.
Right. Well, we're going to start out with Quick Elementor because Open Audit is going to be using Quick Elementor, or you can if you want to. And what Quick Elementor is really just a way to deploy or reuse modules or reusable design elements. So if you have a page or a form that you want to reuse in multiple different applications, it's a quick and easy way to deploy it to all those different templates or databases. Mm-hmm. So we took that same concept and applied it to the Open Audit. So you could take Open Audit, which is going to audit your documents when you're saving them or closing them, and it's going to allow you to push out all the design elements that are needed for Open Audit, like a script library, a view, and a form, to those databases that you want to use it in. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, Open Audit. It can save values and fields. You know, you can save the last version, the last N versions, right? What else can it do?
Well, really, what I was thinking when I was designing this was, you know, if I was doing an audit, would I want to do it on all fields? Maybe, maybe not. Would I want to do it maybe not on just system fields or... And I wanted to be able to go back and look at them all at the same time. So this is a way to gather those for n number of days or n number of versions of an audit. And even over top of that, you can say, hey, once this document is in a closed status, don't do the audit anymore. And so you have a lot of control over top of what you can do. And a cool thing is you don't have to have it in your database. You can actually save it off into another notes database, so it doesn't really affect your application at all.
So you're saying you can actually save the versions of whatever fields you choose that data in a different database?
Correct.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
It's like a log is really what it ends up to be, and you don't want it really associated with your application because, hey, you could just turn off Open Audit and get rid of it, and then your application functions as normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what versions are you at with Open Audit and Quick Elementor?
Well, right now we're at version 1.0 of Open Audit, and the Quick Elementor is at 2.5.
All right.
So that's been around for a little while.
What about plans for future versions?
I really need one more thing to do with Open Audit, and that's actually apply or create some things available to be able to call it through Java. And so hopefully that'll be coming soon. To do that, I just have one more thing I need to do yet. So, and the Quick Elementor, just some cleanup with the UI. And it's not, I'll say this about it, it's not a simple UI. It takes a little bit to understand, and I really like to create a little... walkthrough on how to use the application. I think that would actually help it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you have some screencasts of some of the functions of some of these apps, or was
yep,
that
I did
else?
One. Yeah, I did. That's what I actually would like to do with Quick Elementor, and I have that on the screenshots on OpenNTF for Open Audit, so that you can walk through to see what's available, how to fill out the Open Audit profile, mm-hmm. and what actually the logs look like, and how you can write your own code or use the code that's in there mm-hmm. to use the Open Audit log.
Yeah, I downloaded Open Audit last week, and you provided some sample data in there, which was great, which a lot of applications don't do, and if I can use it, anyone can use it. So I would go download it now, check it out, and provide any feedback you can to Chad via the feedback mechanisms on the OpenNTF site. Or, Chad, don't you also maintain a weblog?
Yes, I do. And it's at chadsmiley.com.
All right. Any parting words?
Go out there and download it. Check out the screencast for Open Audit, and hopefully you'll have a screencast for Quick Elementor soon, too.
Excellent. Thanks for taking some time out today to talk about Quick Elementor and Open Audit, Chad.
Thank you.
Great interview. Thanks, Chad. Julian, what else?
What else? Well, do you want to jump right into the Rob Novak Satwick interview? Or now we have one more thing, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's do Rob Novak and Satwick first, because I know that's what everyone's here for. And do you want to break in sometime in the middle with the other thing?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll break in the middle
okay.
with what? It's a quick... Well, Julian, why don't you give some background on what's going on here?
Yeah, well, background is that there's been a lot of discussion in the notes community about setting up some templates, I guess, rebirth of the Nifty 50, perhaps some community effort around some community effort around some development products or projects that could be used for just really templates or modules or things that we could really just plug right in and be good demos or examples of just how great Notes is and how easy it is just to set something up. And so a lot of the discussion has ended up kind of pointing back towards John Head's website. Mm-hmm. And so Bruce, you had a chance to talk to John about some of what's going on.
Yeah, I did, and let's take a listen to it and provide some feedback on John's site when you can. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. So again, we'll cut in the middle of the interview with, I guess, Satwick and Rob, right? To give you guys a breather from Rob and Satwick.
Yeah.
No, only kidding.
Not that they'll need it.
That's where we're just gonna put it in, so you have to listen to it that way. So
you have to.
All right. So let's take a listen to everything, and we won't bog you down with a closing soundbite from Julian and Bruce. So enjoy, and thanks for listening to the Taking Notes podcast. Julian?
Enjoy.
Take care. Rob and Satwick, welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Ah, I see. Even with our practice session, you still answer in unison. Pretty good.
So, maybe they're actually one person.
Satwick, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role and position within IBM?
Sure. I'm the development team lead for Place 8.0 release, which is coming out in the beginning of 2007.
Oh, nice. Rob?
I'm president of SNAPS, or Strategic Net Applications, which is why we call it SNAPS, and been working with QuickPlace since before it shipped in 1999. Have a lot of experience with the guys who work here at SNAPS. We've been, you know, presenting at conferences and doing big projects for big companies with QuickPlace for a long time, and so now we're the official IBM design partner for QuickPlace. Been working closely with Satwick and his team.
Excellent. You know, something we really haven't talked about on the podcast before is you know, QuickPlace itself, and you know, we've seen a lot of discussions in the blogosphere and in the news regarding, you know, Hanover and SameTime and their reliance upon Eclipse as a platform and stuff like that. And now I hear something, what, QuickPlace 8, which I haven't heard in a long time, simply from the fact that we haven't seen much about QuickPlace in a while, even at venues such as Lotusphere. So you guys want to tell us a little bit about what we can expect?
You can start.
Sure. So it's hard to answer that question, you know, in a short amount of time. We're doing quite a bit with QuickPlace 8, focusing on offerings for each of the three different audiences that we've always focused on, the administrators, the developers, and the end users. The way we look at this is in large part the same way that SameTime 7.5 kind of revived the SameTime product. What we're looking to do with QuickPlace 8 is bring a lot of excitement into the product across all of those different areas. And so some of the highlights from the ability to do things like drag and drop and right click on all kinds of different things. A new access role called the Place Super User, which is something that will be helpful to both the end user as well as the administrator. From an administrator perspective, one of the highlights is an increased reporting and dashboard capability, so that not trying to put SNAPS out of business or anything, but adding some kind of dashboard capability so that place managers can do a lot more with the data in their places. And then finally, from a developer perspective, with all of the reporting capability and also the Ajax capability and the new theme that we're going to ship openly, so outside of the NTF, directly on the file system, we're opening it up so the developers have a lot more opportunity to enhance the product. So we're the three audiences I just talked about kind of cover the core aspects of the product, but in addition to that, about half of our work is focused on integration with a lot of the other products that IBM Lotus is offering this year. So we'll have integration with Hanover, we'll have integration with SameTime 7.5 through plugins, we'll have integration with Microsoft Office so that you can save into and out of Microsoft Office, we'll have integration with the productivity editors and the open document format that comes with Hanover. And finally, integration with email, so that you'll be able to move a thread from your mailbox into QuickPlace. Those are some of the highlights, and we can cover any of the details, whatever you want to talk about.
All right. I mean, you just brought up a lot of new things. Many of us who use QuickPlace, and I use it. I don't know if Julian, have you used QuickPlace before?
Yes, I've used it plenty of times.
You know,
I like it.
pretty much a lot of the feature set that we see today has kind of been the feature set over the last couple versions. So if you had to pick a couple things, I don't want to put you on the spot here, so these great new features that we're all going to say, oh, cool, wow, finally.
I think one that really jumps out at me is the what we're doing with the user interface. You're going to see a lot of different capabilities, things like being able to mouse over a document or mouse over a person's name and see some sort of preview, mm-hmm. like being able to drag and drop a document into a folder in the table of contents, and just an overall look and feel update to the theme. When I mention this, you might think, you know, that's just something on the side, that's just kind of a nice-to-have feature, but it really has a direct impact on productivity. It allows you to do things that would otherwise take you 3 or 4 clicks, or something that an end user might not have even known they would do, they were able to do, like being able to change the editors on a document, for example. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that kind of stuff directly from the UI, in line with the general industry transformation into the Web 2.0 kind of framework, I think that's one that really stands out at me. The other one that I've seen when we visited customer sites, people use QuickPlace. It spreads like wildfire. It's very popular. Everyone's using it. There's a lot of data inside of QuickPlace. And what we're trying to do with this release is make it so that as much as possible, the end user and the end place managers are able to act on their data. They're able to do things like create an archive or unlock a place that's been locked or see things like place statistics and usage. Mm-hmm. Things that the place manager would have to otherwise contact their administrator for. So I think that's going to have a significant impact on the ability to maintain a QuickPlace environment. The third thing I'll mention...
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Sam.
You gave me 3. I'm going to mention 3.
You're right. Yeah. 4.
The third thing... What's that?
You can go for 4 if you'd like.
I'll stick with 3 for now. Of integration with Hanover, same time, MS Office, Mail, and probably a couple other things that I'm forgetting right now. It's all going to be triggered by the implementation of RSS and Atom feeds and web services on top of QuickPlace, which will allow things like My Places, things like most recent documents posted, to be surfaced in all of those different contexts. And I think that's pretty powerful because it allows the complete life cycle of a team collaborative content to be handled in the right places at the right time, so you can imagine when it's appropriate. And then having a chat with someone and having the place that you're a member of in common show up in the chat and having the most recent document show up in that chat so that you can continue to operate in the context that's most appropriate and not feel like the QuickPlace content is an island off to the side.
So what just popped in my head was the term Activity Explorer. Will there be any Activity Explorer integration with QuickPlace 8?
Definitely. So as part of the Hanover integration effort, we're looking at the right models for integrating activities in QuickPlaces. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to be able to do something on both ends. So in other words, to see activities, content, and data in QuickPlace, and then vice versa, to see QuickPlace in activities. Mm-hmm. What's important to keep in mind is that with RSS and Atom feeds enabled on both, a lot of those types of things become very easy for us to do, and also easy for our partner community and development environment to take advantage of and build applications that we haven't even thought of yet.
You mentioned before, from the developer perspective, about being able to play moved out of NTFs into some other technology, or is it still going to be in the NTF, you know, template format?
No, that comment was actually just about the QP Ajax functionality. One of the things that we're considering now is to be able to ship that as JavaScript that's open in the QP HTML directory on the server. So okay. What that allows is someone like Rob Novak's team to come in and see what we've done and make modifications so that they can provide additional value to the customer.
All right, now Rob, you've kind of made a good bit of a living kind of building on top of QuickPlace. Is this kind of thing sort of scary to you, or are they going to mess up?
Please send your questions to Rob.
No, let me preface that by, you know, first off, products are about 10% of my business. So the products I don't really have conflict with, and the types of things that Satwick are describing that have any overlapping capabilities with, for instance, any place administrator, which is our admin class.
client for QuickPlace. He's talking about pushing that out to the managers, to the end users. We have a focus strictly on the administrator and their capabilities with our product. But as you've probably gathered by now, Satwick's describing what sounds like an entire new product. Mm-hmm. All the new features and all the new capabilities. And having that entire new functional set in front of millions of users means a lot of good things for me as a business partner who's focused on QuickPlace for a while. I'm especially excited about the Ajax UI because for all the reasons that Statwick described, plus one, and that is easy acceptance of QuickPlace and it not having a little bit different ways of doing things that it does now than some other desktop applications. People weren't used to have it way, way, way ahead of its time in 1999 and in 2000 and 2001, 2003, and 4. But with the advent of Web 2.0 over the last couple of years, having QuickPlace become a part of that genre of applications is a good thing for acceptance all over the world. So that's a good thing for me. As well with the Ajax UI, the extensibility of having that be JavaScript is something that we're very interested in because we have lots of JavaScript expertise and understanding the QuickPlace architecture and in the back end in QuickPlace. Having that exposed and having the capability to extend that is very important to us. I think that's pretty much it in terms of the things that I'm really excited about at the moment. Everything that is going into QuickPlace 8 is going to be helping us as a business partner and helping our customers. It may have slid under the radar there. Support for the open document format in the IBM community and the integration there is something that I think is going to be really well accepted. And that's going to be from users of all kinds. So fairly excited about that as well.
Hey, John, welcome to the Taking Notes podcast. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Bruce?
Good. So, John, why are we here tonight?
Well, I think it's reacting to the postings that have been taking place in our community. I made a comment on Ed's blog and made a post, and it started to stir up some thoughts and comments.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about your post about it's all time to step up?
Well, I think my reaction to the discussion about the lack of notes, samples, and databases was when you have a problem, you should come up with some solutions. And mine was, why doesn't the community do it? So I made a posting, and Ed linked to it, and a lot of people have been talking about, is it our place to actually do this? And if it is, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, Ed Brill, right? Ed's position in IBM is what, John?
He is the head of sales for Notes and Domino.
Mm-hmm. And how did this discussion come up again? What was going on in the community and the blogosphere?
Well, I think what happened was
the PKF discussion, right?
Correct. And people were saying one of the problems is there's nothing, there's no good samples or no good templates anymore.
50.
Right. And that the Nifty 50 was something back in the 3.x time frame that back then Lotus put out 50 sample databases. And they were pretty bad. I mean, mm-hmm. they were just, here's some ideas. But people used them. They were, here's some sales demos. Here's where I can start my own applications. Mm-hmm. And there's been talk for the past couple years about redoing that or somebody coming through with it. But I think the big difference is what people want is they just don't want a set of templates, available is they want IBM to distribute them and support them and make them available without having to go look for them.
Right, and a lot of this, the discussion that occurred on Ed Brill's blog centered around how SharePoint, right, out of the box, Microsoft delivers some form of out-of-the-box type of functionality for certain, you know, business processes, right?
Right. And let's get real. I mean, they're the same level of applications that the Nifty 50 were.
Right.
People are not using these in production environments.
Right. Totally agree.
But they're a great place to look at what you can and can't do at a basic level. You can start with them, and they're a good, you know, get you up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, they're not real-world applications.
All right, so let's roll it a little forward here. We talked about some of the OpenNTF applications and why or why they weren't, you know, suitable, maybe due to their licensing types not being friendly with IBM's lawyers and stuff like that. So forget about all that for a second. You posted something, I guess, maybe Tuesday, and put out some suggestions for the community on, you know, a mission statement, possibly how to go forward, et cetera. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my goal is a couple prongs. Number one, we've had a good reaction, a lot of people making suggestions and offers of their templates. But what I think we need to do is start with a direction, and you actually helped me come up with this, is let's come up with a mission statement for what we want to do. Let's not get bogged down in web and languages and all that kind of stuff, because I firmly believe that IBM is going to do something here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be as fast as we want it. We'd all like it in 7.02, of course, but let's get real. Nothing new is going in 7.02 at this point. I think we as a community can start a process, and I don't think this replaces OpenNTF in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, either do I.
I think this is building on top of the great work that you guys have done at OpenNTF about coming around a package that has documentation and samples and working towards a goal of maybe having IBM distribute this or link to it or maybe even support it in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're just talking about a mission statement. I've had 10 people offer me their applications. Some of them have been sold in the past. Some of them, you know, haven't been used. But I think right now we're talking about over 100 samples that we can start with. But before we get into the details, I'm trying to just come up with an overall picture of what we want to do.
All right. So if our listening audience wants to get involved, head on over to www.johndavidhead.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes to it. And, you know, get involved with the discussions John's, you know, hosting on his blog. And I think there's been some discussions whether to move the discussions to a more discussion-oriented place. But
well, I think right now, you know, it's comments on a blog, and people have suggested maybe a dedicated discussion somewhere would be an easier way to have this, you know, discussion long term. And I agree, it's, you know, it's not about my site. It's about hopefully starting something that can grow and has some longevity.
All right. Anything else you want to add to this short discussion here,
well,
John?
I just, you know, I don't want to get people's hopes up. I do think this is putting some pressure on IBM to do something. Hopefully they're going to react sooner than later, but I'm not going to wait. That's pretty much. And we got a couple other people who were really, really anxious and excited and behind this, and we're going to see what happens.
All right. Well, let us know how we can help. Stay in touch.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care. You guys, both Rob and Sam.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very excited about this. It's the first time we have an opportunity to focus a conference on a quick place and same time, and I think it's going to be great.
And when is that again for the listeners?
Sorry.
Listeners calling now.
They're calling now, yeah. The
operators are now we're taking audience phone calls.
There are two Collaboration University events, and one's in Kansas City, September 13th through 15th, and the other is in London, September 27th through 29th. It's funny you should mention.
Oh, that's weird.
Somebody, it is weird. I had to call the guy just to make sure that he clicked on the right link. But he said, yes, I really want to go, but I had a prior engagement during the London week, so I'm flying to Kansas City. So.
Well, Kansas City is such a popular vacation spot this time of year, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's 103 degrees out today.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
It's going to be lovely in 5 weeks, though.
You must have heard that you're going to be barbecuing for us, Rob.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, can I ask a quick place question while we're here?
Yeah,
one,
sure.
One thing that always, I don't know, I found weird. Editing a document, you have the ability to edit it or check it out. You know, like, what's the everyone gets confused by that. You know, if you're going to edit it, you know, may as well check it out at the same time. I mean, what's the difference?
I think it's the difference is the intent. And that is, if you're going to check out a document so nobody else can edit the original, but that you need more time to work on it than you would in a normal edit mode on the web type of a trip, you need to check it out, and then maybe you need input from three or four more people before you check it back in as a completed document. People using QuickPlace for a sort of a light document management system, maybe not as much revision control, because you have revisions too, but more in terms of making sure that the current document is the gold document, that any edits to it are done in an ordered fashion.
Okay.
And, of course, that can always be customized, as done many times.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. I know that iNotes, or I guess it's DWA now, has a lot of QuickPlace kind of components built into it, or it's built on top of some of those components, or some odd connection there. Is there any kind of development efforts that sort of bind the QuickPlace and the iNotes teams, or is that really a completely separate thing?
From a development perspective, we work very closely with the iNotes team. Those teams actually grew from the same base. The code actually is grew from the same base. And if you do a view source on some of the iNotes code, you'll notice that it's using a lot of the QuickPlace components, and vice versa. So we're working very closely with them. So, and what you'll be seeing in iNotes 7.02, a lot of the improvements that they've made around the UI and around the performance of the product are going to be directly impacting what we do around QuickPlace.
Okay. And then in the future, I guess, for Hanover or Domino Next or whatever they're going to be calling it, is the QuickPlace 8 upgrade also going to be give us a lot of new features in iNotes, or is there kind of a staggered connection there?
DWA, or we can.
Oh, sorry. You're right. I'm sorry.
iNotes or DWA will be shipping with 8.0, so they'll have their own set of capabilities that'll be offered with the 8.0 release.
Okay.
And you're not going to rename the product, right?
I'm not going to rename it.
No. QuickPlace in collaboration for residents of Hanover and no, never. All right. Anything else, Julian? Rob? That
would be unveiling something. There's a code name, something or other, for Collaboration University. Is that right? Let's see. Are you allowed to talk about that, or is that kind of in our background?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I'll give you the code name. Satwick and his team, and me and my team are working together on a secret code name project that I use QuickPlace for a lot of the different reasons. They're going to be happy, and they're going to be happy in a current version, current shipping version of QuickPlace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I guess
we'll talk about that more next month.
Hey, one more question. Okay. I have a question, Julian. So I'm going to cut in front of you here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are we going to have Mac support, Safari support, and Internet Explorer support in QuickPlace 8?
That's all in plan.
Okay, good.
That's about all I can say right now.
Okay, I remember. I think Volker Weber was posting something about it not working correctly on Mac OS X, which I use a lot in QuickPlace. I can't use it from OS X unless I use Firefox. So,
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Julian.
I was just going to say that I think in this whole discussion that's been going on about notes and competing with Microsoft and templates and portals and things like that, Rob, I think you made the point at one point that really the really QuickPlace is kind of the notes competitor to SharePoint. Is there anything you wanted to expound upon or just throw out there or talk about?
No, not too much. I just would mention that with some of my customers, some of the customers and folks that I speak with, their competitive pressures are coming from SharePoint, are competing with QuickPlace. And I think that says a lot about QuickPlace and all of its capabilities and the fact that it's mature, too. So. But I just mentioned that, and we've had all these discussions and in the blogosphere, the Domino world in the past couple of months. There have been discussions about the Notes and Domino templates and need those to compete and so on and so forth. And just should mention that, hey, when I speak to customers, what I hear, and of course that is a focused group of customers usually having to do with QuickPlace, but what I hear is they are sometimes evaluating SharePoint against QuickPlace. So, it's really a multi-pronged attack then.
Right. Robert, one or two kind of features that customers choose QuickPlace over SharePoint for?
Well, I think the one of the most interesting things is whenever it happens, the discussion of round-trip editing and how long QuickPlace has leveraged that seems to be quite impressive. And you'd be surprised how many people find that feature for the first time and say, oh, well, what do we need SharePoint for? We've got this capability right here, round-trip editing in QuickPlace, drag and drop into my collaborative workspace. Mm-hmm. And then the other would be, I think, the pushing out of the management of membership and end users out to the managers of the QuickPlace, making that just so easy and intuitive for them to use that it's really, there's a no-brainer when it comes to how easy it is to manage the end users.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, you're saying that there'll be a revamp of the members page?
It's easier to manage in QuickPlace.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I can tell you, I can count on one hand the number of support calls that I've handled for our Team Anywhere QuickPlace hosted service in the last 6 months that had anything to do with membership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, membership.
That's hundreds and hundreds.
It's easy
of members
in QuickPlace,
there.
So. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got Collaboration University coming up. Obviously, the next big larger event is going to be Lotusphere, and I think the registration is going to be starting this month or something like that. Satwick, I think you said that the date for releasing QuickPlace 8 was going to be sometime next year. Are you going to have a lot of just good stuff to show us at Lotusphere in January?
Oh yeah, definitely. We're planning a very exciting Lotusphere this year for QuickPlace. We're planning to demo a lot of this, some of it at Collaboration University, and then what we don't get to there, we'll definitely have at Lotusphere. So we're looking forward to meeting everyone there. And then sometime in the first half of 07, we'll have the QuickPlace 8 release.
Excellent. Taking some time out to update everyone on QuickPlace 8. I think this may be the first discussion of it out there in some form other than maybe your blog or even IBM. I'm not too sure. Talking to you after Collab U and find out how it went.
Thanks. Sounds great.
Yeah, thank you both.
Take care, guys.
All right, take care.
Instant Technologies. I am turned on.